When you find a deal on your favorite thing in the McDonald's app and order it, does that technically count as online shopping? Save money with the app. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's, prices may vary.
Hey, it's the Docs Who Lift podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Spencer Nadolski. I got my co-host, Dr. Carl Nadolski Jr. Today, we're going to be talking about a few things, and really, it's all about the influencers, not only just TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, which is now known as X, and how sometimes they're getting paid for talking about drugs and other things, and the FDA and FTC is looking into this. There's just an article this week on Stat that I saw, and I just sent it to my brother to read over, that we can kind of discuss. And what I want to start off, though, is talking about how, and we've talked about this in the podcast before, how my brother and I started a supplement company. You hear us talk and grab about supplements all the time because there's so much snake oil out there. We started a supplement company back in 2008. I was a med student.
I was just about to graduate.
You're a fourth-year med student. I was a first-year med student. And the reason was, and actually the whole reason for it was because we love protein powder, meal replacement type of stuff. And so we're like, I don't know, everybody always asks us, because we were, you know, big, strong wrestlers and athletes, and people always wanted to know of protein powder, but we also wanted to help people lose weight. And
we even developed one, more of a post-workout version.
That was before. That was like college, pre.
We were always interested in, that was more for like the athletes at Michigan State and North Carolina and stuff. So we had some interest in developing products for people based on our academic and athletic interests that people wanted. They wanted our opinions on
this. I loved supplements and protein specifically because it's, for me, it's very hard to eat enough. So I love protein supplements. Like I can't eat a whole thing of turkey. I need to get something
turkey for you.
I need the easily digestible stuff. So I love protein powder. So we're like, let's come out with a company. We came up with the name Leaner Living. Horrible name because everybody kept calling we understood what leaner is, but everybody called it Learner Living. People on the outside colloquially leaner. They didn't understand it. We thought it was good. It was terrible. I can go over the history of whatever. It's actually not funny to us, but it's an interesting story of what happened at the end of that debacle, which I think that company went defunct in 2018 or 2017?
Several years ago.
2018,
2019. We were very excited to formulate our own meal replacement protein powder because we knew the science and we had the experience. And we understood that people needed something that tasted good, was convenient, and we felt like we could develop a product that was up to our standards that we would feel comfortable recommending rather than someone else's stuff.
Yeah, that was
the
gist. And
maybe try to make some money from it.
That was the gist. So I understand business. I know how to make money online and do all these things now compared to back then. You sure as hell don't. But I understand business now a little bit better, and marketing and sales and all that different stuff. So, but what's interesting back then is that we just formulated it. We used our student loan money to do this, which was
mistake number one.
Pretty. We were pretty dumb, but we were naive. Paid a lot of money for label designing. It was a lot of money, and these are the type of things that nobody actually cared about. But we were like, we need to have a cool label because like everybody else is doing this cool stuff. So we paid a lot of money to make cool labels. We spent a long time formulating. I even went out to the place, this Protein Research. I still love them to this day. You know, I don't do business with them. They were very cool. I went out to San Francisco, I believe it was, area, and went through the manufacturing plant, their CGMP, good practice, good manufacturing process, certified. All these different things. Very good place. We went through multiple iterations with their chemist person to make sure that the protein powder tastes good, the mouthfeel of it. It had a blend of
texture.
It had a blend of milk, whey, protein, and a few other things.
It had good fiber from oat fiber and flax, as I recall.
Yeah, it had a few fiber blends in there because we're like, we want multiple types of fibers.
Yeah.
And a multivitamin mineral formula that was like not too much to where it was like, oh God, you're going to have toxic levels of iron or something in there. But it was like what you would expect from a good whole food type of meal. So it was, and you know what? We, our friends and family and people, we didn't have a huge following back then. People loved it. People people still message me today going, where did you get that learner lift? Can I get some
it
of
was
that?
Good.
We even had the next idea was that we came up, and again, we were ahead of our times and now people are coming out with this. We came out with something called the Lean Latte. We took the same formula and we added real coffee. It had the same amount of caffeine and coffee as a true cup of coffee. And people loved it for their breakfast. It was our idea that you'd have coffee with your protein powder. I know my brother's sitting there going like, yeah, and here we are sucking wind because everybody else is making the millions of dollars. But it was actually really cool. The whole point of this is to say we had this, it was very legitimate and we believed in it. We also came out with one supplement. It was called Glycosulf. And the name is pretty cool. Glycosulf. It was a berberine base product. We were the first people in the United States. I don't think I'm lying about this. I'm pretty sure we were the first people in the United States to put 500 the what was used in the doses in the studies.
And that's an important note, by the way, that leads to this because we didn't just make this up.
No, we didn't make this up. In medical school, it literally came out in that same year, 2007 or 2008, when we started medical school, that berberine, specifically pure berberine used over in China, had metformin or better like results for blood sugar control.
Blood sugars and lipids.
And lipid control.
These were not in BS medical journals. Literally,
it was like the Journal of Endocrinology.
Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism.
Yeah.
The one that is the most highly cited endocrine journal that is my specialty that everyone respects highly. And then other studies followed, basically supporting the safety and benefits. The key here is it's still a supplement. So it's not big pharma. It didn't have tons of money behind it. These were not the biggest robust studies to ultimately, you know, show, kidney outcome benefits, heart outcome benefits, like the big drugs do. And we acknowledge that limitation, but this was really interesting to us as scientists and health nuts and knowing whether it's good, right or not, that there's a lot of people out there who don't tolerate all these meds and want the alternative.
They want the natural stuff.
Even though, there are issues with that, obviously.
So we weren't selling snake oil. We were selling something that like literally had the best studies that are available, at least short term. They don't have long-term cardiovascular outcomes. Right. So we're like, all right, well, nobody else is doing this and it looks to be pretty safe. Let's see if we can get this imported in from India or China, wherever they're making it, to our good manufacturing practice place. And they did their analysis and like, yep, this is 98 or 97, whatever the highest, it was like the highest grade berberine you can get. It was berberine hydrochloride. And what's funny is we put
basically
that in.
Like medicine. So don't get me wrong. We consider any supplement that does anything, technically it is medicine. And this was kind of an alternative medicine. However, with data behind it, it becomes an evidence-based consideration in real practice. That's the key, and where I'll stand.
I know. So, but it doesn't matter. Anybody's listening, we're like, okay. So, get to the point. So, get to the point, though. Now, here's the cool thing. We didn't know we got a shipping company. This stuff, the protein was expensive to buy. So, for anybody wanting to, I want to get into it. I've done this a few times now. Protein's expensive to buy. It's expensive to store because it takes up a lot of space. It's expensive to ship because it's heavy. Pills, on the other hand, they're smaller. They don't get the profit margins are much higher for pills. Having said that, we actually priced our pills. We want, because here's what happened. We priced it at like whatever, $30 at first. We ended up lowering it to $20 because what happened, and this is because we're ethical doctor people. I can't call them patients. Customers started calling and going like, I need my shipment now. This is the only thing that's keeping my blood sugar at bay. I've gotten off my insulin. I'm telling other attending, I'm a med student at this time, telling other attending doctors. You can imagine what other doctors are saying. Like, you're doing some quackery kind of stuff because like that doesn't happen with supplements. This is the thing with berberine hydrochloride. Again, we're not endorsing it. We don't make money from it anymore or anything like that. Like, this stuff is potent. And
it has medicinal properties for sure.
We were the people when you Googled berberine, we'd come up. The first page that would come up was this Ray Sahalan guy who just talked about berberine. He didn't sell it. But the next in line was us, because we also own berberine.net. And what had it's a crazy story. So anyway, we would sell. We couldn't keep the stuff in stock. And what eventually happened is there were people buying our stuff, and they started relabeling. They just bought ours, relabeled it, and then tried to like price. It's a cutthroat world out there, basically. What was happening is that like people would take our bottles, take off the label, and then put on their own and mark it up. Yeah. Eventually,
then the quacks really did get involved.
Yeah, then they all get it. Then
they over marketed. And this goes back to the having scruples thing. So as physicians and evidence-based physicians, and we don't like BS supplements, but we were providing a supplement that had evidence. We were very open about what the studies showed, what they lacked, what the limitations were. And we couldn't go beyond that. And we will never go beyond that. But the quacks did. They said there's the miracle. And it's still happening now, which blows my mind when they say berberine is the newest Ozempic. And
yeah, nature's Ozempic.
That's not even close to true.
That's not even close. It does help with blood sugars, helps with lipids. It's not going to help you lose much weight. Maybe a tiny bit.
The benefits beyond that. And that's what
we don't really know. So what happened is, you know, the big companies jump in. And they can make the cost of these so much lower than what we could do it for. I think we were getting the bottles at somewhere around $10 a bottle of cost. And then eventually big companies got in and they were selling it, you know, $10-$15. It's like, how are we supposed to make any money off this? And by the way, we didn't make much profit off it. The money kept going back into the company to buy more of the stock. It was like, we never actually were able to make
any money.
We didn't make any money. Like even though we couldn't keep it in the stock, and it just shows that we were trying to be ethical because we didn't want to make it too expensive because people really needed this. This is just why doctors shouldn't be selling supplements in the first place. So what happened though, I was like, okay, these marketer people are doing whatever. So I need to get marketing. I need to do some marketing. I don't really understand it here. So all we would say is like, we would link to the studies, but we wouldn't make claims. So we hired a company. It's like, well, if this is so good at lowering blood sugar and here are the studies, let's make claims. And so what happened? They basically like, this is the best supplement for lowering blood sugar. This is the best supplement for lowering cholesterol. I don't know what other claims.
Those were the major ones, I think.
So what happened? I'm in residency, by the way, 2012. I'm in residency, family medicine. I get a.
Well, that means I must be an endocrine fellowship by then when this happened.
Not yet. I don't. 15? I don't think so. I was 2012.
Okay, I was right before I started.
Right before you started.
I was an internal medicine doctor.
I got a call from a FDA lawyer going like, hey, do you want me to protect you in this case? I was like, what case are you talking about right now? He's like, you didn't get the letter? I'm like, what letter? I got a letter from the FDA that basically said, you're making claims on us. And I was like, so confused. I'm like, what? We're linking to the studies that link about the lowering of blood sugar by 30%. Like, I think there were claims like that. Like, it literally says that in the study. What do you want from me? So I called the FDA and they're like, look, we can't advise you. You got to hire a lawyer if you want advice. Trust me, I'm just like a kid here. Like, I don't know what's going on. Like, I don't understand what you're talking about. Like, I just don't want
kids.
I don't want to get, I don't want to go to jail, please. Like I don't want to pay $100,000 fine, whatever this is. And they go, they were so nice about it too. Cause they understood they could hear that I was just completely naive and ignorant to everything. They're like, look, this is like a slap on the wrist. Like, we're just telling you got to change the website. I'm like, oh, if that's the case, then like, just all right. So literally right away, I changed it to like, all right, I'm not going to make any claims at all. I'm not even going to link to it because they said, don't even link to any studies, which most people do right now. They still do.
Yeah. But
they're like, don't even link to any
false claims. Which
I know. And I know because here's my conspiracy. This is not a conspiracy. I'm pretty sure this happened. We were such a small fish. I think one of our competitors, these idiots don't know what they're doing. Let's just take them out right now. So I'm sure someone, whistle blew and got us in trouble.
Big supplement
took us out. So what happened is I just changed it to like, here's literally what it is. It's because people already knew what berberine, we didn't need to over market what it did. People already knew what it did. So all it said is like, we're very factual. We have 97 or whatever percent. It was 97 or 98% pure berberine HCL in each capsule and just very factual. And then we're fine. We never heard from the FDA. Having said that, the reason we're bringing this up is because there's this guy on Twitter that just keeps attacking me.
He's a physician, but he is very malicious for some reason. Yeah,
personality. Don't really know yeah, that. Who knows what's going on with this guy's life? Clearly not a good player, but he keeps bringing it up on Twitter saying, like, you are so unethical. I'm like, yeah, I'm so unethical that I literally changed it right away and just. And I was just making claims based off of studies, off of my own ignorance. And the FDA just literally dropped the case because I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't think it was, I still don't think it was unethical. It's like, look, it was Burberry. And I don't know.
Right. We didn't make any false claims.
We didn't make any false claims.
We never would. And that's actually our downfall.
So what happened?
Everyone else does. And
yeah.
Then we get,
so what happened? Yeah. So everybody listening is like, if you're still listening now, you're good. Cause we're going to get into the TikTok influencers and stuff. But it's really interesting because there became a point where we decided, like, look, let's just sell this company. This is more a headache than it's worth. Let's sell it because, like, we don't want to be known as pushing. We don't push supplements. We couldn't make extra money because we could not in good faith tell our patients or anybody else to take Berberine over metformin, over Januvia, whatever
medications we have really good data on.
Yeah. And now we have the GLP-1s that are much more powerful, but, you know, let's say back then Victoza, whatever, I don't know. So at some point we go, like, let's just sell it. I got a broker, and people are like, this is like a business podcast. I got a broker. We got somebody that wanted to buy the company for like $200,000. We were all set to go. Yeah, $200,000 doesn't sound like that much, but, like, yeah, at the time it was like, all right, this will pay off our student loans.
Makes me
a little bit
ill because part of this is my fault because I didn't want to sell
this. Not this
latte.
One. Not this oh, one. Okay. Not this one. I'll tell that. And so this one was $200,000. Something happened. The deal fell through right at the end. I don't know. He got cold feet. We found another one that was going to do it for like $125,000 or $150,000, and I was like, just take the company. Like, please, just take this company off the hands. Otherwise it's going to die. This company is going to die because we are not going to promote it anymore. And that was the one they were about to sign, and they wanted to take everything, including the latte. And we're like,
all I wanted was the trademark.
We just wanted
that was such a cool concept, and now everyone's making billions of dollars on it.
So we said, fuck. We're like, because there was something in there, like, we get lean latte too, and like, no, like. I don't even know. We should have just sold it.
But I don't know. I'm so stupid.
So the deal fell through. We didn't promote the company anymore. The company stopped making money. So then nobody was going to buy it anymore because it just literally wasn't making any money. So anyway, that's a good story of how we lost about $120,000 or $200,000. And in the end, ended up losing a lot more because we also didn't get the payoff. Because we invested our money.
Idiots.
So anyway, if anybody wants to know the story of leaner living, which most people called learner living, there it is. Very frustrating to us. A lot of headaches. I had a lot. I was during med school while creating a company that you didn't know what you were doing. It was insane.
You learned how to do business.
I did.
Now I'm a...
But it was I use it, like, people talk about you learn from your failures, and I'm telling you right now that it was such a good, like, it's frustrating to hear those things, but, like, it was such a good learning experience that I understand now why it failed, and I understand what would go into creating a next new thing. Frustrating though. So why don't we get into, though, like, the ethics of social media and promoting drugs. So I will say I have friends that get offers for, I'm not saying just like a few hundred dollars, $1,000. I'm talking about tens of thousands of dollars to promote pharmaceutical drugs. What are the ethics behind that?
And by the way, supplements.
Supplements too. But, like,
yeah.
let's
so both things. It's,
yeah.
This is,
but, like, if you're doing that as a doctor, again, you're taking $25,000 to promote. It's mushrooms. There's like these magic mushroom things that people are trying to sell. And they're I don't know what company it is, but
magic mushrooms.
These like mushroom teas and stuff like that.
I was gonna say, that sounds like some illicit drug.
Yeah, illicit drug. It might as well be. But I've heard so many different stories. Like, if you're a doctor promoting, like, mushrooms.
Huberman gets paid a ton of money for selling his greens that don't do anything, doesn't he?
Yeah, I'm sure he gets thousands and thousands of dollars for doing that. But, like, what are the so the stat article, did you just go over it? Talked about this.
Well, I mean, this is fascinating because I've been kind of on the rails lately about just pharma in general marketing. I am not about big government. I have no political dog in this fight. However, we are one of two countries that allows direct-to-consumer marketing of pharmaceutical drugs, right? So us in New Zealand, for some reason, we obviously have a pharmaceutical cost issue here. We talk so much about these new medications that are also popular on social media, the injectable glucagon-like peptide 1, or the GLP, GIP.
People know it as Ozempic.
Yeah.
It's all Ozempic.
And we've had these drugs for almost 20 years, and now suddenly social media and media is making a big deal about them and calling it all Ozempic, which drives me absolutely insane. But they're really expensive, and they're really, really good medications for those who truly need them. And yet and it just blows my mind how many millions and millions of dollars must be spent on all these TV commercials we see all the time. And now my son says, I think I might have mild to moderate Crohn's disease because of all the stupid Crohn's commercials. Well, and it's funny, but it's like, so they're marketing to people so that people can then go to some degree, maybe inappropriately, talk to their physicians about it, because not everyone needs these
medications. What about the is it low T? Remember that whole thing? The testosterone thing.
And that's why, by the way, so all these TRT clinics that have popped up, everyone, you know, all these places are inappropriately selling testosterone drugs to guys.
Yeah.
Kind of trying to convince them they have hypogonadism without an appropriate workup, mind
that's
you.
That's horrible.
Fired up. And it's because of Big Pharma years ago with the low T, because they came out with a bunch of very good formulations of testosterone therapy for those who really need it, but they tried to get everyone to think they have low T and go talk to their doctors about it. So that's just the baseline issues I have with drug marketing. And I am not anti-Big Pharma.
No, everybody knows we're not.
I don't like inappropriate marketing to people.
Yeah, no. So this, I mean, this is the thing. So you see a lot of the kind of the big pharma conspiracy theorists. People are like, how? And this is where we agree with them in that, like, I don't think there should be direct to consumer marketing of these drugs. When the doctor should be appropriately evaluating patients for these and should be aware of them.
Yeah. The doctors need we always need continuing education. That's a whole different topic. I think they should have some funds to educate doctors without undue influence, which is a whole nother controversial issue, but not to millions of dollars that could be going to reduce costs.
I know.
To patients, in my opinion, I don't know the statistics always, but
like right now we have shortages of these GLP-1 drugs, and I'm seeing advertisements from the big pharma manufacturers promoting them, and it's like, you guys don't need to promote these drugs, they are going gangbusters.
Of course we see them on social media, so you know, and I know I don't know if we need to get into that, but you know, these different companies online that literally say, hey, are you eligible for these medications, come check us out. I just saw one as I was flipping through the phone talking about sending metformin to your door. Metformin's dirt cheap, and yet now there are companies that are going to get paid by people to get metformin for type 2 diabetes.
It's indicated for longevity, according to some Hater podcast.
do we need to mention his name? Okay.
No. Needs not being named?
Oh, my God. So now the social media influencers, according to this article you sent me, are getting paid tons of money to promote drugs, medical pharmaceutical drugs. I mean, that's amazing.
I can't stand it. I don't know. This is like the meme. Like, you guys are getting paid. My brother and I are like the biggest like proponents of these drugs, and we don't get a lick of money from these big pharma companies.
Everyone would be mad.
Everybody would be very mad.
I don't know why.
Because we have scruples, I guess.
I have tons of friends who get paid to, you know, talks. You know, and I could go do talks. I'd be proud of doing that for them. But then people say, you're paid by Big Pharma.
So there's influencers out there getting paid by literally Big Pharma to go direct to consumer. That's just, it's taking an extra step going, all right, this is a commercial, yada, yada, yada. Like, I can, you know, whatever. That's one thing. But now you're getting
not medical experts either.
And you're getting the trust of influencers. And the reason people like influencer marketing is because these people have gained the trust of, you know, thousands, hundreds of thousands,
or millions,
tens of millions of people. And they're paying them. And these people just, like, so what is the FDA and FTC are thinking about stepping in? Is that right?
Yeah. Well, the problem is that they're out of each of those respective circles, you know what I mean? Like out of their respective responsibilities. So, you know, like one is overseeing, you know, medical, one oversees advertisements for everything.
Right.
And then the other one's overseeing medical pharmaceuticals.
Yeah.
And so like they're like missing this.
So whose job is this?
It's like, yeah, it's not under either one's jurisdiction, I guess. So like this thing says, while these posts are clearly marked as ads, quote unquote ads, in compliance with the federal guidelines, simply disclosing that something was sponsored is not enough. Because people, there's no oversight really.
That's so interesting.
So people trust their influencers. The trust bestowed upon influencers can be dangerous, particularly in the context of potential health misinformation and disinformation propagated through specific drug advertisements. I mean, we saw that with, you know, COVID and everything too. So many different people saying good, bad, or otherwise, just complete spread of misinformation around the internet.
Yeah, it was horrible.
And now they're getting paid to do it.
Yeah, so then take that another level. So who's going to do anything about these influencers promoting compounded like GLP-1? So you take it another level to where it's like they can't even keep up with the people doing FDA approved medicines, let alone compounded non-FDA approved versions. And these influencers are making, I've seen, tens or more thousands of dollars because like they can pay them this much just to promote their stuff. It's actually, I don't know. It's not, to me, it's not ethical. They don't have enough understanding of these medicines to even give the full benefits, risks and benefits and side effects and all those different things. And then
it's interesting because, you know, it's speaking of the commercials for these drugs, right? People always say, well, God, I saw that these drugs can cause death. And I say, well, that's one of the ironies about the drug commercials is that they are so well regulated despite costing millions of dollars that they have to be very, very literal and legitimate and have all the risk benefits. Yeah. The benefits should outweigh the risks if we're going to give it to somebody, but they have to list all the risks. So here's what it says about those two things. So the Federal Trade Commission oversees the advertising of nearly all products except prescription medications. It frequently updates endorsement guidelines and hosts public events, yada, yada, yada. Now the FDA, which obviously oversees prescription medications, needs to work with the FTC to come up with clear guidelines about what influencers can say and how they can say it about prescription drugs and not just in widely disseminated posts and videos. So I guess they've collaborated before, on matters such as biosimilar misinformation and stuff like that. Jeez.
My favorite commercial other than Ozempic is the Jardiance commercial. You know that what I'm talking about? And they're doing this little dance.
They're all dancing around.
Taking Jardiance for my A1C. I don't know what it is. I love that commercial because it's just, I don't know. It's so ridiculous. But like,
well, they
just,
all are.
Because
well,
it just.
Think about all the, the Viagras and the Cialis for erectile dysfunction.
Those they're always
huge.
In a...
That's a whole nother, right? They're getting sold online. Everyone's trying to sell that. And always in these separate bathtubs. Out in a beautiful wilderness. It's like, what?
I know. Have you ever done like, have you gone, I mean, we've all visited houses that maybe we're going to buy and like, they always have this like bathtub. I'm like, that looks like from the commercial and I will never use that unless it's for a commercial for what these drugs. I'm like, I'm not going to take a bath in one of these tubs. Anyway, I don't know why I said that, but like that's, it just reminds me of those tubs and the, why is it a tub?
Well, yeah, they're always in, but they're in separate bathtubs too.
Yeah.
For erectile dysfunction medication. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what that doesn't make any sense to me.
No.
Anyway.
Not at all.
All right. Okay. So supplements. Look, we went through our own thing. We tried to be ethical about it. We decided, A, we probably like it's not it started to cross the line of like we actually didn't like I'll never sell a supplement again. I don't know. I can't see it. I don't think I ever will.
Yeah.
I can't.
So we tried to do it appropriately, legitimately, and lost to the quacks.
Yeah, I think
now
if a company. I'm just trying to think, like
not,
if a company.
Not for sour grapes, but yeah, because it's the right thing to do.
If a company came to me, like let's say Premier or Fairlife or something,
well,
and
that's
said,
different because those are still. I still think we should get those companies to sponsor the podcast because
right.
We believe in those. We recommend those to patients.
That's what
I feel comfortable with that. And different food
companies,
gym companies, whatever, lifestyle based companies, and Yeah, I think it would be appropriate to be paid by pharma to do educational things, but I just not going to do it for now.
Yeah. So like think, okay. So let's say if somebody from Premier is listening to this or Freer Life and like say, like, yeah, we'd love to get the name out there a little bit.
Or Mr. Peanut, Planters. I want to be a shill for Mr. Peanut.
What about,
I've said I want to be this old.
What about the pistachio? Year. They got a lot of money.
Yes, and the pistachio people. And what about avocados from Mexico?
Yeah, yeah, I would do that too. So, but I mean, honestly, protein powders and like those shakes, like Freer Life Premier, whatever.
Yeah, they're good.
It's pretty much like food, you know?
Yeah, just and we recommend food. Them to patients. Like a, and so we.
It's not like snake oil.
Yeah, we'll maybe get some sponsorships that we believe in that are reasonable that we can talk about on the podcast and not feel bad about it.
I'm thinking about like anything that just doesn't have good evidence, like, and doesn't, and the reason we like the reason with the glycosol, the berberine one, we just were like, we just didn't feel we couldn't ethically recommend it.
Go beyond what it actually, what the data were.
And guideline,
real medication
guideline directed, you know,
yeah, there's a reason. Therapy. Guidelines. The evidence,
and
you know.
Berberine is not
in the evidence.
Yeah, maybe. But we, that was the reason. It was like, we're looking at guidelines going, I can't like in good faith tell you to take this berberine over like a metformin. I just can't. If you want something natural, you don't want any of that. Sure, it's there. But like, I couldn't. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for listening. I mean, we're at about 30 minutes. We've been rambling on, but I think it's a good, I think you'll get a good sense of like kind of what was going through our brains of like, and hey, we did it. And it's okay to reflect on this type of stuff and moving forward. It was like, I don't know. If I had to do it again, I probably would, because it's gotten me to where I am right now. But it's if I could go back in time, I'm pretty sure we would be a lot different. We probably would have been able to sell it for a lot more and actually make the sale. Keep sucking wind. All right. Thanks for listening. Make sure you share with a friend and family. Give us a review, only if it's good, but if it's bad, then whatever. All right. Bye.
When you find a deal on your favorite thing in the McDonald's app and order it, does that technically count as online shopping? Save money with the app.
At participating McDonald's, prices may vary.